I am neither a prophet in the true meaning of that, nor son of a prophet. But I have one thing to tell you, that this decade, there will be a great awakening in New Zealand, and we can either be at the head of it or we can watch it. That's how I feel. That's how I felt when we first got here in 2019. That's how I still feel. And I'm glad to be here to be a part of it, because I truly believe that it is one of those things that should start on the South Island. And I'm not so sure that it doesn't start in Lincoln. So as we look at what God has to say about some things this morning, I just want you to keep in mind that I'm not talking about having a good church. I'm talking about leading out on something that is going to be historic. If we look at the word this morning, one of those things that just came to me when I started studying for this day. And it's not profound. It's something that we all know. We just don't say it a lot. Jesus didn't start talking about the gospel and about reaching the world at the end of his ministry. And we know we've got the Great Commission at the end of his ministry. It's after he is resurrected that he gives us that. But he started talking about it when he first started calling people beside him. And he's still doing that today. He did it this past week. He's still calling people to come beside him and to follow after him. And so I want to look at a verse where he had just called Matthew and Jesus, the disciples at that point were out and they were looking, and the scripture actually says that Jesus looked up and he saw the crowd. And he said, the book says that he was moved with compassion and he felt a service to them. I love the fact that we have in our Bible that Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. I just love it that we can tack that to ourselves and say to ourselves, if we ever get to a point to where we're the ones that are grabbing and just wanting all the service to be surrounding us and what we need and what we want, we're missing the whole point of what Jesus was trying to tell us in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 verses 37 and 38 says this, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. It's all about God. It's all about what he's doing. The harvest is there, and he just wants us to see the harvest and to know that it is abundant. It will stay abundant. As a matter of fact, I want to see your hands right now, because let's have a comparison, because we're looking at God's Word. If it was abundant then, is it more abundant now? Like, of course. We have so many people that we have to reach before it comes not abundant. It is more abundant than it has ever been. The mission of Christ was to redeem a desperate world unto himself. And we have been given the great privilege, these so many hundreds of years later, that the same vision remains our greatest challenge. And that challenge is that challenge found in the Great Commission. And I love the fact that Dean brought up the Word Commission. Because every other commission I know, whether it's religious or military or otherwise, every commission I know, which is a calling, it is a special time, that commission is full of pomp and circumstance. Because being commissioned to do something lets us know that the colonel, the general, the commander sees in us an ability to get that done. So as we stand here or sit here and I want to give a shout out to the praise team, the worship team. You guys stood up here for 30 minutes, so God bless you. So now that we sit down, we sit here and we know that what's happening around us is all about God. And God has seen in us something that can do what he's asked us to do. He's not given us a boss ending. He's not given us just this joke of, why don't you reach New Zealand? Why don't you reach your own country? Why don't you reach your own generation if he doesn't know as God that we can do it? And so if we're looking for that revival, that great awakening, that coming to the Lord, and we have a way, and I'm the head leader. We have this way of complaining about everything. Oh, thank God that COVID came our way. I don't thank God for the deaths. I don't thank God for the sicknesses. I don't thank God for the misery. I don't thank God for the losses. But it's all of those things that God allows to be brought into our lives to bring us up to the next level to see we've got a short life and a lot of stuff to do in that short life. And so as we look at what we're talking about this morning, our vision begins with realizing that there is a great harvest out there. If we leave this place today and it is not on our mind and on our lips that the harvest that we have to reach is unlimited, we're not getting the very first thing we need to get. And when we start talking about all the people that we can reach, if we're not seeing it almost as undoable, we're not really seeing the big picture. God has called us to this fertile field that has never been so fertile. And so as we look at it, the harvest that we have to reach is many. It's thousands. It's tens of thousands. It's not just a few that we think that we have been placed on the earth to reach. There are so many that God has given us, and he will give us a chance to talk to him. He will give us a chance to enter into those people's lives. Thousands of people here in the Selwyn District are waiting on us. Thousands. Let me say that again. Thousands. Thousands of people in this Selwyn District. We don't even have to. We can walk to the end of we can walk to the end of those thousands that are waiting and wanting for us just to take some time to show some love, to show some concern, and to show them that at the pit of that love is our wanting to give them the most important thing in the world. I know there's one thing that we can agree on here. What is the most important thing that we can give anybody in this world? It is not a Ferrari. It is not houses in New Zealand. It might be houses in New Zealand pretty soon if they keep going up. But the best thing that we can give anybody anywhere is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, verse 35 and 36. He actually says this. And it plays so well into what we want, what we see being in our future. John chapter 4, verse 35, 36, kind of walking along, Jesus says, don't you say there are still 4 more months, then comes the harvest. Listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields. Wake up, awake, for they are ready for harvest. Look up now, because we don't really have to wait 4 months, because there are people that are standing in queues everywhere. I came up here and went home last night, and Selwyn Sound was having something, and man, did they have a queue. People are waiting for stuff. People are not going to stand in queues for us to come to their house, but they seriously, in their heart, desperately want somebody to explain to them the relevance of Jesus Christ. Verse 36, the reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life. So the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. This has always been one of mine and Lisa's favorite verses. I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored, and you have benefited from their labor. You realize that as we do what we're getting ready to do over the next few years, that we enter into where somebody else has set the stage for us? Somebody else has already talked to some people. They've already set some things that the Holy Spirit had them to set. They've planted. They've watered a bit. And maybe, just maybe, we get to be the ones that go in And we start to see people actually say yes to Jesus Christ. We get to be the ones that see them go from unsaved to saved, from eternal damnation to eternal glory, eternal life with God. I promise you that at this very minute, there are Christians. And I'll say this in a downward way. I'll say this in a way that we need to also look at the Christians around us, the followers that are around us, and lift them up. Because there are Christians that are around us that are literally blind to what Jesus has told them to do with their life. Let me just give you the answer. I know that everybody's wanting to find their special gift. Everybody's wanting to find where they belong, that right place for where they belong. Jesus has already told us what our life is to be about. Our life is to be about reaching somebody else with the gospel verbally. And so there's so many Christians that are around us that we can find, and they're waiting on an easier vision. They're waiting on something that's easier than that, because that's scary sometimes. You know, if I were to tell you, let's go from here today and let's just go talk to a bunch of people, there would be people that are introverts, and you would say, oh, that's too scary. But it's what Jesus has told us to do personally and as a church. We do find deeper experiences with the Lord as we do the things that He's called us to do. Spiritual maturity is incumbent upon handling the first responsibility. And if we're not handling the first responsibility to go and tell others to how they can be saved. The model comes to my mind, the woman at the well. She left immediately. And it was the whole town that she brought back. It was people that she didn't even know, it seemed, that she brought back. That she just wanted to tell. She wanted to let them know. There's a man that is God because He has told me everything about myself. Come and see. That's what we've been called to do. Paul in 1 Corinthians sadly tells the Corinthians, you're not ready for meat because you're still in that place to where there's still struggles and there's still envyings and divisions and you're carnal. And what I pray is that you come out of that and follow what God has called us to do. Jesus is saying here, listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready right now to harvest. But what happened to these supposed workers? Because it says that there should be plenty of workers, but there's a lack of workers. So where are the workers? Well, I'm no brain, so I'm just not working. They're not working, all right? There wouldn't be this statement. Maybe they do need to do a little bit better. Maybe they need to understand God's Word better. Maybe they need to understand what we've been called to do. The fields are ripe everywhere for us, but especially this community, especially this area that we're in, because it's our area, it's our community, and it has to be harvested in our season. This is our generation, and it's this time that we have to own it. We have to do what God wants us to do in this generation. We have a certain season in our life. Our generation, our lifespan, whether it's a few decades or whether it's many decades, it is still that certain time that our fields can be harvested. And it is the most important thing to us is this peak season. As we sit here this morning and we kind of wonder, well, how are we going to start this? Where are we going to go? Let me tell you, there are a harvest of children out there right now that are ready to hear the sensible, childlike understanding of Jesus Christ. They're waiting for us. There are a harvest of young people that are out there, a harvest of women, a harvest of men waiting to be reached and with the strength and the security of God. So are we ready to hit the fields working? Are we seriously ready to leave here? Put it on our mind. This is the day that everything back behind us stops. This is the day that starts a new day, not in just this church's life, but in my life. What am I going to do differently this week to see somebody better know Jesus Christ? So he's He says that he needs workers now. He says he's not giving us this thing of, you know, we want you to get a 5-year plan and I need you in 5 years. So I'm not going to get up here and tell you a bunch of words that's going to be happening in 5 years. I do want to tell you why I see the projection in 5 years. But for us to sit down and say, this is what's going to be happening in 2025, we don't know. We don't know what God is going to be doing in the world. We don't know what God's going to be doing in this country. We don't know what God's going to be doing in our lives. We know that we need to follow Him and be right behind Him. But we need to take initiative now and know that if we don't reach this harvest will die and go away. If the people that have been given to us don't accept Jesus Christ, then that's on us. Person with initiative is a person that is motivated to do something. If you take initiative, you're willing to get something done, take the responsibility for it, and whether it's success or failure, you won. So let's get personal. Where is it? We're not here. Where is our church located? Where is our church located? Exactly. If somebody says, where is your church? You say, Lincoln. Well, I want you to guess this because I know some of you already know it, but in the Selwyn district, as the Selwyn district continues to grow at a pretty steady rate, which is the only town that looks to more than double in the next 3 to 5 years? Lincoln. Wow! God gave you this piece of land, gave you this building, and then 10 years later, or it's going to be 11 now, we enter a time where we're standing in the situation where is Lincoln ever going to be the Lincoln of the past? No! It will never be the Lincoln of the past because we're looking. I drove out to Dean's the other day and I drive by this place and it looks like the moon because they've already cleared everything. No trees. So if you buy a house in that area, no trees. You have to, like, get your plastic tree. But, seriously, they're calling for that subdivision to almost double what we have. And so we look at this and we just want to say thank you, God, for putting us at the right place at the right time to make our lives count for reaching people for Christ. For years, I've gone over the things that have happened in Lincoln. And some of it's different than other churches, some of it's exactly like other churches. I look at the plans that Lincoln has had right down through the history. And the plans have been right on target. I look at the 2000 vision. I look at the 2010 vision, the 2012, the 2015, and the words are right there. It's not that we don't know what we're supposed to do. It is that we know what we're supposed to do. The vision that we placed in front of you this morning is may we die trying to get those words off of those pieces of paper. You have a card that you were given. There's some literature out there that you can grab on the way out. And it all says good stuff, but we want to get those words off the paper. It takes great leadership and great cooperation to do just that. So let's look at the fancy slide I've got, David. Look at the beauty of New Zealand. Picture just to show us what the path might look for us. If God came to you and said to you, now just listen here. If God came to you in your entrepreneurial mindset and said, I want you to be, I've got it listed, awake, equipped, proving, approved, transformed. If God just said to you, look, I want you on the top of that mountain by 2025. I just want you to be there because there's something great that's going to happen. How many of us as entrepreneurs, as business people, would say, I'm going to get there. I see it as a pretty long road. I see that it's a lot of climbing to do. But if God says it, then I'm going to be there. So we look at this, and I want to be a part of that. Our future lies in that some way. And while that's up, I just want to give you this, almost want to give you this picture. Because as we think about the different phases of what gets us there by 2024, 2025. This picture was perfect Because right where we are now is at the beginning of the road. And we'll talk about this in just a second. But if you look, there's actually a little side road we can take. There's actually a bridge we've got to get across before we even really get started here. And so the beginning is very, very, very important. I'm not worried so much when you guys get out there and I get out there with improvement, because if, even if somebody tears off running across that paddock, they might get, gored by a bull, but I think they'll probably eventually get to the mountain. And so as we look at these things, I want to humble myself. This can only happen with complete cooperation. And so I'm going to ask you something that I don't think I've ever asked any other church. I'm going to ask you to do something for me that I don't think I've ever asked any other church. I'm going to show you a scripture verse that I don't think I may have, but I don't think that I've ever pointed out. You know why? Because it's a little embarrassing. This is one of the verses in the Bible that's a little bit embarrassing. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 21. It says this: be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They're alert to the condition of your life and work under strict supervision of God. They're accountable. Contribute to the joy of the leadership, not the drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? Pray for us. We have no doubts about what we're doing or why, but it's hard going, and we need your prayers. All we care about is living well before God. This church called me here 2 years ago to lead this church. I am asking you, I am asking you with humility, allow me to lead this church for the next 2 years, because it is going to be hard for us to get up that mountain unless we have leadership and cooperation, and 100 people can't drive. We've got to drive the buggy up to the top of the mountain, and I would surely appreciate it if you would allow me to do what you called me to do 2 years ago. Thank you for that. We can't move ahead quickly and steadily enough without cooperation. It's one of those things that you don't set yourself up and say, look, I want to be number one. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about we will never get this done unless we understand what God has called us to. And I appreciate so much one lady in the church that actually emailed that this past week. So I want to look at the verses there, David. You've got a card. Maybe some of you don't have a card, but on the back of that card, it sets out sort of a 4 or 5 year what's going to be happening. And it's not anything that brings any great surprises. So you just flip right off of that, because you can get that card outside and it spells every one of them out. The first one on the card is very, very important, because it is what we just talked about. Awake 2021, the next 120 days, the next 4 months, May, June, July, August, we need to be thinking about what the most important steps in the life of this church is. What are the 5 cogs that we have to have to make this machine work in a way that is going to bring revival in the next 4 or 5 days? So if you flip that next slide there, I don't want to scare you again. But if I almost said this, we need to get to maximum legal capacity by 2024, 2025. Because I keep seeing it on the doors. Our legal maximum capacity is 499. So I see our church, I honestly see our church with the ability to get to that place. And the first part of that is this next 4 months, where we do the things where 4 months from now, we say, aren't we glad that we did those things 4 months ago? And there's 5 initiatives that are on that card that you have. And it starts with mass evangelism. It starts with getting out there with, it's called attraction. It's marketing. It's seeing people, come to our church. It's outreach. And so let me throw this at you again, and I want to throw it in a way that is a little bit more edible than the last time that I said it. We need to hand deliver who we are to the people around us. And so we do that by thousands at a time. We'll take a week and go give out 1,000 Lincoln Baptist Church information packs. Maybe a small tray of biscuits wouldn't hurt to go along with that. But to every neighbor within a 20-minute radius, we need to go thousand by thousand by thousand, seeing people take a package from us, letting them see our face and saying, look, I'm not here to come in, I'm not here to really, we just want you to know that we care about you down at Lincoln, and we want you to, if you're looking for a church, maybe consider our church. Boom. Done. That takes, and listen to this, that takes 50 people showing up, taking 20 packs, and handing them out. You know how long it takes to do that? One Saturday afternoon. I'm not talking about the whole day. If 50 people show up and take 20 packs, you go back to the community, it will take you about an hour to get those 20 packs to those people. So I promise you, if we get this started, it will become this competition within ourselves. And I promise you that it won't be thousands, it will be tens of thousands that we want to get out. Because if we know we can reach out to 2,000 people in one Saturday afternoon, we'll be all for it. All we gotta do is go out there, do it once, come back in and say, did you guys get yours? Yeah, well, that's 1,000 contacts that we made on that Saturday. So yeah, what you've got in front of you has the words attraction, assimilation, acculturation, activation, and multiplication. And I wanna just spit through these words because this is only the beginning. This is where we start. And where we start is Awake 2021. For 4 months, we need to get to a place where we're expecting growth. We need to open our eyes, see the fact that we've been placed in the best place that we can possibly be placed. We need to wake up and see what's before us, understand that foundational initiatives have to be set in place that are going to be not just on the paper, but come off of the paper, those 5 cogs that are written down here. May, June, July, August. Then we're going to give ourselves another buffer zone. The last 4 months, from then until Christmas, we've got another 4 months, another 120 days in 2021, where there's added preparation that we can make sure that we're not still talking. The last 4 months of this year, we need to look at each other and say, we're not still talking, are we? Are we still talking? Are we just talking? Are we doing this? So the last 4 months of this year, we ought to be encouraging each other ridiculously. We're not still talking about this, are we? We're not still talking about getting a sign out there. We're not still talking about starting discipleship courses. We're not still talking about getting a class started for this and that. But we have put those initiatives into place. The scripture goes along with that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful in teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God does not want us to be unequipped. And so what I'm looking at is if we could just get back to a good average of about 185 before we close 2021. That's not hard to do. We can get back to 185 before we close 2021. That sets us up for 2022, which is a year that it really is the proving year. It's the year that it will prove whether we're serious enough or not. And it's one that where we stabilize and strengthen those goals and essential initiatives that we talked about. And we go from 185 to 260. That is not hard to do. That is just us going out there doing what we're supposed to be doing. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Then we enter into 2023 where we go from 260 to 350. That's not hard either. Because by that time, we will be to the point where the verses say, remind them of these things, charging them before God, not to fight about word that is of no profit and leads to ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word. 2023 will be our year, and then we will enter into the transformation on the top of the mountain, the picture of our church's future, where we just go where we can go. Once we get to 350 in 2023, by the end of 2023, then it's whatever we can make arrangements for. Then it's when we need to start thinking about, oh, do we go to two services? Do we build? What do we do? And all that can be taken care of in that year. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good and pleasing and perfect will. But how do we even get down that road? How do we start down that road? It is this. Back in the beginning, the vision tells us, pray for the Lord of the harvest to give us what we need. This vision that we're talking about, and bringing everything that we're talking about off of paper, nothing stays on the paper. We don't leave anything on the paper. Christ is saying, pray that God will raise up enough laborers to reach our generation, the generation that we have been given the immediate responsibility to reach. We can do it. We can do it. Is it fancy? You better believe it's fancy. You know what? It's what a lot of churches aren't doing. A lot of churches in the year 2021, are doing everything but. Because it's scary. It was not. Not when you pray and that person says, you know what? I do want to ask Jesus into my heart. Then suddenly it doesn't become scary to me. I just want to ask this question. And I know that, I don't know if it's embarrassing or not, but how many of you have literally led somebody to Christ and said, you know, you've helped somebody understand how to accept you? It's one of those things that if you get to do that, you will never stop. Because you know that something you did has made a difference in that person. Father, I praise you, I honor you, I glorify you. And I pray that, Lord, that you would help us to be smart, help us to be wise, help us to make the right decisions, help us to cooperate, help us to, Lord, to understand how you're going to get us there. Help us be on the same team. Help us to be for each other. Help us to be strong and mature enough to where we're not dividing each other. We're not snippy at each other. We're not fighting each other. But that we're coming together as a team. And we're coming together as a team because of Christ. Because of what you've asked us to do. Not because we just love each other and want to live in a commune with each other. We want to love each other with your kind of love, with your kind of unconditional love. We want to love people enough to give them the best thing that we can possibly give them. So Lord, I pray that you will fire us up. I pray that you will build us up. And I pray that you'll help us to see what we have to do with this generation. We love you. We thank you for calling us. And we thank you for preparing the field that is going to be the most awesome field that we are working for. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.